The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show, Matt Slick Live. You're listening to Matt Slick. Let's see if we can get the camera to go non-fuzzy. There we go. It cleared up. Hey, five open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276, same as always. And let's see, I am planning. Oh, boy, look at this. I've got to do this and get that right there. Did I get that going? I guess I got everything going. Yeah. I am planning to be down in Salt Lake City. Let's see, on the weekend of the 5th, 6th, and maybe a day or two afterwards. And then I'm going to go down to a UFO convention. I totally smile every time I say that. Going to a UFO convention. So, yeah, because, you know, I do research on that stuff, and I'm going to go. And might be going with a pastor, Rudy, if he's listening. And we talked yesterday. He's a great guy. And let's see, what else? And so I'll be out that week. I'm going to try and get someone in to fill in. We'll see if it works technical-wise. We'll check it out. But, hey, look, folks, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M on your phone. And if you want to give me a call, it's 877-207-CARM, C-A-R-M, dot O-R-G. If you want to watch the show, you can go to the CARM homepage, and you'll see a link on the right-hand side, a little thing that says live, and you can click on that. It'll take you to a page. And I mentioned yesterday we're working on the schools. Yes, we're working on the schools. We're going to try and get them ready in the next couple, 3 weeks. And muy gudo, that's what I got to say, muy gudo. We're working on that. Then we'll be working on the store. And then I think after that, that's about the major stuff is done. And then we're going to start doing videos. And I've been working on a section for, we're preparing for a section for called One Minute Seminary, where I'm going to be doing 1 minute videos on all kinds of topics. And, you know, if you listen to me very long, you know I like it quick and slick. Just get to the point. Here it is. This is the Trinity. I'm going to give you 60 seconds-ish of the Trinity, hypostatic union, communicatio, idiomatum, justification, imputation, propitiation, you know, all kinds of isms and istics. We'll probably do stuff on religions. Oh, I'm looking forward to doing some stuff on Catholicism and atheism and things like that, because I'm going to tackle false religious systems and try and get all this stuff in, and then do the one-minute seminary, seminary. I think we'll do something like that, you know, quick and slick with Matt. I don't know. Who knows? We're just coming up with, you know, names. So if you want, give me a call. Again, four open lines, 877-207-2276. We have a prayer ministry. If you're interested in praying or being prayed for, well, then all you got to do is just email us at prayer@carm.org, prayer@carm.org, and we can have people praying for you. We need that. And please pray for this ministry, too. We definitely need it. I'm not just saying it. I mean, we need prayer. We really do, because this is a tough ministry, and it's front lines ministry. We go after issues. And that reminds me, I'm convinced that Google is penalizing conservative groups, particularly Christians. I've gotten word that Christian sites, traffics are all going down. So here's an experiment you could all do, just to see. You go to Google, and you type in, what is the Trinity? Okay, what is the Trinity? And you go there, and you can, hold on, there we go. I got my Google thing on my phone. You say, go to Google and type in, what is the Trinity? And see if you can find the Trinity article on CARM, for the CARM article. And it's like a third page. You got to go down, and you got to look till you find the one for CARM. Then you go to yahoo.com and type it in. And it's right away. It's on the first page, first couple, three, four. If you go to Bing, it's the top three or four. If you go to DuckDuckGo, which I recommend you guys use, then it's the top two or three or four, like that also. So we've been talking about this, and we're convinced that Google is penalizing groups. We know that they did that. They do penalize conservative things, and They fix it so that you can't test things, you know, it gives much, as much traffic. And we've definitely been keeping a lot of track on that. So anyway, there you go. You know, you can check that out if you want. Check out that and see what you find. But we're trying. So I'm bringing it up because we need prayer. We want the Word of God to get out to as many people as possible. Let's get to Patricia from Charlotte, North Carolina. Patricia, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, by God's grace. What do you got?
Well, good. Well, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Catholic Church is the apostate church,
it is.
How
mm-hmm.
is it? Yes. How is it that ecumenism is so widespread? We actually saw a Baptist church that had a banner out front saying it was the Lenten season and wanting the Baptists to do the sacrifice of Lent, which is complete not Christian. So,
well,
how is it that we've gotten off track like that and the Protestants are following the Catholics?
Oh, because they don't believe the Bible. Because that's it. They don't trust the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They don't take the Bible seriously. And when you take the Bible seriously, you don't do Lent. You don't do the Mass. You don't do praying to Mary. You don't pray to the saints. You know, you don't add works to salvation. So the Roman Catholic Church is apostate, and the Protestant Church is slowly moving in that direction as well, slowly going apostate as well, because of it's just not taking the Word of God seriously. It's just, that's what it is. It's just as simple as, do you take the Word of God seriously or do you not? And if you don't,
right.
you'll end up believing in women pastors and elders. You'll end up thinking that Catholics are Christians
right.
or Catholicism is Christian, or that as long as you're sincere, you'll make it to heaven, or that another error that is taught is that it's just up to you and your free will just to believe in God
no.
and your sinfulness. You know, you're just, it's up to you and your wisdom. These are more errors that are in Scripture, that are not in Scripture, but in churches, because they're not believing the Word of God. And yeah, I'm saying that. They don't trust the Word
yeah.
of God. That's why they're teaching this stuff. That's why they're not able
I
to discern truth from error. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a scripture that says that if the people didn't repent, that he would let them go off into apostasy. So, meaning
well, yeah,
they would fall into the congregation of the dead or something like that.
There's verses, like, I think it's, let's see. In 2 Timothy 3, 1, but realize this, that in the last times, difficult times will come, last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, etc. And it goes on, holding, verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, yet denying his power. So that's
right.
that verse, and there's also in 1 Timothy 4, where it says, the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own consciences with a branding iron. So what they'll do, and some of the signs of apostasy in Protestantism are women pastors and elders keeping your salvation by being good, by your sincerity, your effort, you're not doing a list of things, and by doing a list of things, that this is a sign of apostasy. The approval of homosexuality, it's an alternative lifestyle, etc. And these are some of the signs. Another one is humanism. Humanism, and I'll tell you what this is, because this is important, people need to hear this. Humanism is man-centeredness, and humanism says man is the standard of righteousness, the standard of truth, the standard of morality, etc. And humanism manifests itself in ways like this within Protestantism. It's when someone would say, I know that God does not predestine people because I made the choice myself. I'm the one who saw that I needed God. And so what they're doing is they're saying, me in my wisdom, that's humanism. And I'm the one who decided, that's humanism, and they're saying, I'm not believing the Word of God, I'm believing my experience. That's humanism. And it's alive and well in the Christian church. And pastors need to preach to root it out, and they need to not worry about how many people are in their church. They need to preach the truth, and if people leave, then let them go. And preach the truth. Yep,
pastors are called. So because the pastors are not loving the Word of God and not teaching the congregation to read the Word, mm-hmm. then they're falling into apostasy.
Yes. The job of the pastor, it says that the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. The pastors and teachers are by the same article, definite article in the Greek. Equipping of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's what we're to do. So that's what I do. I'm a teacher. And I equip the saints for the work of service. Because the saints are supposed to be out there doing, not just going to Bible studies, tucking their hands underneath their legs, and their Bibles are semi-open, and then they go home and do nothing because they're afraid they might offend somebody, or they might be persecuted a little bit. Okay?
Thank you so much. That is the answer. I understand it, and I agree with it. Thank you.
Good for you. Good for you. We need more people who take the Word of God very seriously. Not just seriously. Yes. It has to be the final authority. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome so much. God bless.
Okay.
Now, before we get to the next caller, I'm going to ask you guys out there a question. And it's a serious question for anybody listening. What is your ultimate standard, your ultimate source of truth? What is your ultimate standard and source of truth? Okay, now what I mean by that is that there's nothing beyond it. It is the final and the greatest thing that there is. Is your standard of truth your heart? You sense and you feel and you intuit what the truth is. Is that what your standard is? Is that what the ultimate standard is? There's nothing beyond it. That's what your primary thing is. Or is it your tradition of your church? Maybe you go to a church and, hey, we've always done it this way. Or the church says, and this is why I belong to it, this is why I believe it, because that's what the church says, that's what the pastor says. So is your church and your pastor the ultimate standard of truth? Because if that's the case, well, you got a problem. The ultimate standard of truth should be not science, not philosophy, but the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is a reflection of the character of God. God has given it to us, and it's what we need to have, and it's what the truth is. So the Word of God, the Scriptures, are the final authority because they come from God, directly from Him. It's inspired from Him, from God. So if God were to write something down, with his own hand, say Jesus wrote a letter. It is absolutely inspired. That's the final authority because it comes from God himself right there on paper. All right? And he goes to heaven and we have that message right there in that paper. That's what the Scriptures are. So the Scriptures are that final authority. And you need to submit yourself to the Scriptures. If you submit the Scriptures to your thinking, to your ideas, your feelings, then you are in error. Like some people, when they call up and they say they know the Bible teaches such and such, and they're absolutely convinced and give me verses for it, and the verses don't teach it. And then they don't listen because they're going to believe whatever they want to believe because they're loyal to what they feel, not what the Word of God says. This is a problem in the Christian church. Men, you got to lead the way in starting this movement within the Christian church of holding the Word of God up in its proper place and following what it says to the demise, to the unhappiness, to the upset of everybody else. Who cares? The Word of God is true. Follow it. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Paul from Salt Lake City. Paul, welcome. And Paul's not there. All right. Let's go over to John from, Kaiser, Oregon?
Kaiser.
Okay.
Kaiser, Oregon. How are you today, Matt?
I'm doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got, man?
Well, I'm trying to reconcile something, and I'm not sure which direction to go. But in Psalms, the 5th chapter, verse 5, where David's writing, He just says, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. And I've just been chewing on this for a couple of days, with the idea that God would hate people. And I want to understand that in comparison to, for God so loved people, loved the world that he gave his only son. And so I'm trying to get those two to work out. And especially if we're created in his image, does this also apply to us? Are we to hate evildoers?
Okay, so also if you go to Psalm 11:5, it says, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. And if you go to Romans 9, roughly 9 through 13, what it'll do is it'll say there was Jacob and Esau. The older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And it wasn't because of anything they did, good or bad. So what we understand sometimes in Christianity is that Jesus is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, standing at the door of your heart asking permission for you and your wisdom to let him in. And this is a misconception of who God is. God is a complete and total person. There's a doctrine called divine simplicity. It means that God is one thing. He is not part love, part hate, part mercy, part justice. He is all one substance, and they are all equally part of God's character and essence. Because God is righteous, he will hate those who do unrighteousness. And it's a hatred. Yet at the same time, God can love the whole world. Now, some people mistakenly think that in John 3:16, the word world there means every individual, and it does not. Because Jesus was sent covenantally to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he said in Matthew 15:24. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Jews always understood that the Messiah was only coming for the house of Israel. The house of Israel is a phrase that means the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. The high priest would go into the temple on Yom Kippur on an annual basis and offer sacrifices for the nation of Israel. He wouldn't do it for other nations. It was for Israel, and the Messiah was to come through Israel. And Israel rejected the Messiah, so now Jesus is sent, or Jesus now encompasses his love for the whole world, not just the Jewish people. So the word world there deals with all the nation groups, all the people groups, not just the covenantally called Israelites. So, God, and I'll give you an illustration of something. We have in theology the decretive, prescriptive, and permissive will of God. Let me use this as an illustration while I teach you what they are. The decretive will of God is God says, let there be light. He decrees it. It's his direct action. Boom, there's light. The prescriptive will of God is thou shalt not lie. He prescribes, like you get a prescription, medicine. This is what you're supposed to do. Don't lie. Honor your mother and your father. But he has a permissive will in that he allows you to lie. It's his will to allow you to lie. So what we would say in theology that God's will is such that it's multifaceted. It's decretive, prescriptive, and permissive. All right. So God's love can coincide with his hate the same way his decretive will and prescriptive will and permissive will can all coincide. His prescriptive and his permissive, thou shalt not lie, but he allows you to lie, they both simultaneously exist in the heart and the mind of God. The same thing goes with this issue of love and hate. God, in fact, a lot of people don't know this, but in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says this. No, that's not it. Ephesians 2:15. I think that's it. Let me see. I got all these verses in my head. Yes. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Enmity means extreme hatred and extreme dislike. And so there's an enmity. We are by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. So there is a sense in which God hates those who do iniquity, and there's a sense in which he also loves them. And so God can do both of them simultaneously, just as he can have a prescriptive will and a permissive will simultaneously. So he can have the same thing going on with others. But then the question comes up, does he hate people to the point of damnation? And then that's another question which seems to be answered in Romans 9:9-23, and the answer is yes, he can.
Sure.
This is not biblical theology that's taught from pulpits, because it makes people uncomfortable to think that God might be the sovereign king who actually does hate all who do iniquity. And yet he's also gracious. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, that's really good. I appreciate you taking the time to lay that out. Because that's God's divine nature, because he's God, and we are made in his image, is this something that we weren't given when we were created?
No, we can love.
The same,
we can love and we can hate.
And we can also hate evildoers.
Yes, we can. We can hate evildoers, and yet at the same time, we're not to return evil for evil. We're to pray for them. So there's a real kind of a juxtaposition where we have to walk between them. So, if, like, for example, let's say we're watching a special. My wife and I are watching this thing about the DC sniper, and we're watching that every periodically when it comes up. And I just hate what this guy did. Now, does it mean do I hate him? Well, yeah, I hate him for what he has done. And yet, at the same time, I can also pray for his salvation, which is a loving thing. So there's, we can do these things. It's called the communicable attributes of God when it comes to us. Communicable means the attributes of God that can be communicated to us, that we can experience. So God loves, we can love. God hates, we can hate. God reasons, we can reason. So he does them all perfectly and with righteousness according to his perfect divine character. We don't. We mess them up because we're touched by sin. So I might hate someone unrighteously. Not that I do, it's just it's possible. I have certain areas, when I hear about certain things happening, there's a real hatred that comes up in my heart. It has to do with hurting children. That's beyond me. I don't get that. And I just hate those. I just want to meet them in an alley and have a discussion with them,
Right, that's human nature.
Yeah,
comes right up.
Hey, we got a break. You want to hold, or is that good enough?
May I?
Yeah, let's hold then. Okay, good. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. John, are you still there?
I am still here, yeah, thank you.
Right. Sure.
So, just a little bit of thinking on my part. To be honest with you, I've not ever heard this taught before, and so when I... I was reading the scripture, it just kind of rattled me a bit. My mom raised me not to hate people, and I'm born and raised, became a Christ follower when I was a kid and baptized, all that stuff. But, back in the old days, they used to teach kids not to hate people. And so trying to work this out biblically and to have the same mindset of Christ and those things that we already talked about, this is really good to discuss. So it makes me want to ask then, who are evildoers? Would that still include me as a Christ follower and you as a Christ follower when we sin? Because when we sin,
one sense, yes, another sense, no. Because we still do evil, and evil is that which is contrary to God. And so we might think something bad, whatever it is. And in that sense, yeah, that is there. But in another sense, no, because we've died with Christ, Romans 6:6, Romans 6:8, died with Christ, crucified with Christ. So if that's the case, the Bible says those who've died are freed from the law. That's Romans 7:4. Well, if that's the case, then we've died to the law in Christ. So therefore, Romans 5:13 says that if there is no law, there is no sin. So if we've died in Christ and died to the law, and if without the law there is no sin, then we can't be said to be evil because there's no sin that can stick to us. You see?
Yeah. So the idea, Matt, we have no more sin nature when we are a Christ follower, when we come to Christ.
Yes, we do.
The old is gone, right?
No, we still have, it's called the now and the not yet. The now and the not yet. You can go to Romans 7, and starting at verse 18, and you can read. Now, there's a controversy over this section of Scripture, because people say it's Paul talking about how he used to be. But this is what he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I don't want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells within me." And he says, "I find a principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, etc., etc. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Now, what he means by the phrase, the body of this death, one of the ways that the Romans would kill people is crucifixion. Another one was beheading. Another one was stabbing. And, another one was putting you in a prison and chaining you to a corpse, the body of this death.
Yeah.
And that corpse would slowly kill you by its decay. And so he is lamenting this. People say, "Well, no, he doesn't sin anymore." They just don't get it. We still have a sinful nature. I don't need the devil to sin. I got that down. But I war against my flesh, and I fail, but I come to the cross all the time. And it's a constant movement of the grace of God and my faithful appeal to God as I move through this sinful life that I'm guilty of, as I seek to do God's will. And it's not a hopeless thing. I'm full of joy because God loves me no matter what. It's not okay to sin.
Well,
but he loves me. I'm going forward. Praise God. I'm still struggling, but he loves
me.
Well,
I try to tell people that, because you've been forgiven, live in that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But when you
Amen.
Do sin, you could go and confess that and it will be forgiven,
yeah.
But live in the freedom that you have been given. And so, hey, listen, you probably got other callers, but so that leads me to a statement that I guess it's probably not a good one, and it's not in the Scripture where people have said, "Hey, God hates the sin, but not the sinner."
Yeah, that's not in Scripture.
Yeah.
It's in the book of Second Moronicus.
One of those,
One
of those good ones.
Yeah, and it's nice, but... And there is a sense in which God loves all the sinners, and that's in Matthew 5:43-48. It's called providence, where God loves them by letting the rain shine on the good and the bad. There's a sense in which God loves everybody, and there's a sense in which he hates specific individuals who perform and are given over to evil, and he will hate them, and he will judge them. And if you go to Romans 1, roughly 18-32, which I recommend you read, you'll find out that he gives people over to the judgment of their sin, namely homosexuality is the judgment there, among
right.
other things. He gives them over to that judgment to believe a lie. And to really throw this in and make it more interesting, if you go to Mark 4:10-12, Jesus is speaking in parables. And they ask him, "Why are you speaking in parables?" And he answers them. He says, "So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." Now, wait a minute. So Jesus is saying, he speaks in parables to the Pharisees and the Jews so that they won't be forgiven. Now, with all of this, how do we reconcile God's love, his mercy, his justice, and the fact that he does hate? Well, we can do this by defining these terms even more precisely and seeing how they interrelate. I've had to do this and discuss this. So God loves everybody generically, and the way he does that, sun and rain, and they benefit from the cross, because God is staying withholding his judgment from the unbelievers for the sake of the believers. So we know from that, as the parable of the wheat and the tares, don't tear the tares up lest you tear the wheat up also. Allow them both to go together. So God gives grace in that sense to the tares for the sake of the wheat. So they are loved in that generic sense per Matthew 5, 43-48. There's another sense in which God hates people, those who love iniquity, those who love sin, and love to do evil. And God hates them.
And promote it, yeah.
Yeah, they promote it, they seek it. Now, it's not to say, you know, you and me, you know, before we're saved, you know, we struggle, we goof up, you know, and we're just normal sinners, so to speak. Well, God loves us, you know, in that generic sense. And then there's a love, a special saving love he has for the elect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not one thing. It's like agape love. Everyone says agape love is a divine love, right? Right? That's what they say. Except it says, Jesus says, woe to you Pharisees, for you agape the chief seats in your synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces. And there's other places where that word love, agape, is used in a sinful way. What I try and show people is that the Bible doesn't always teach what you think it says. If you get stuck in a denomination where they just tote the denominational line and that's all you're open to, then what are you learning about the Word of God? So I get accused very often of being arrogant, which is true, I am. And I get accused very often of messing people up, which is true, because I show them the Word of God. And they know what to do with it. And that's good, in the sense that they see it. And then they have to adjust their theology. Okay?
Well, when we first started this, the question you asked is, what do you filter everything through? What do you base everything
right.
on?
Ultimate
what
standard.
That original question was, and I love mm-hmm. that. What's your standard? Yeah, what's mm-hmm. the level? And it does. I totally agree. We've got to run things always through God's Word, even yep. when it's hard or it disagrees with what a denomination or what you feel, you know.
Oh, you got that right, John. Hey, you're ever out in the Boise area. You're ever out in the Boise area, let me know. If you're ever out here in the Boise area, let me know, okay?
I will do so. Thank you, Matt.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. Okay. All right. Let's get over to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, we lost him because that was 31 minutes. Let's see. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Scott from Utah. Hey, Scott. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you? Appreciate your time.
Sure, man.
The previous caller will kind of dovetail into what he was saying a little bit, but me and my wife have been discussing. We have a close family members that has chosen to live in a homosexual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed where the boundaries are as far as you love the person, but we can't promote that sin. We mm-hmm. want that person to repent, and we want to be a good witness of Christ. But where does the line be drawn as far as association? Can they stay at your house? So on and so forth. I just kind of want your perspective on mm-hmm. on a situation like that.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to that kind of stuff. So, for example, there are certain things that I'm absolutely not going to support. I would not go to a homosexual wedding and lend my support to it. I'm not going to do that. I don't recognize a homosexual marriage as being a valid marriage either. And we get a break. We'll go over this, okay?
Okay.
Hold on. Hey, folks, three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Hey, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. Let's get back to Scott from Utah. Hey, Scott, welcome. By the way, where are you in Utah?
I'm in the Layton area.
I don't know where that is. I know where Salt Lake is and Sandy and stuff
Yeah, it's north of Salt Lake, about 30 miles.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to be down there in Salt Lake in a couple weeks, so no big deal. All right. Okay, so as I said before, I'll kind of reiterate, I would never do anything that supports the sinfulness of homosexuality. So I wouldn't go to a homosexual wedding, and I certainly would never allow a homosexual couple, I don't care if they say they're married, they could not stay in the same room in my house. I just don't recognize it as being valid. And I'd let them know. I'd say, look, it's not I'm not trying to be difficult, but I have to answer to my Lord first, and I don't recognize your marriage or your relationship as being valid, and it's sinful. But it doesn't mean I don't love you. Come on over for dinner, you know, and you want to watch a movie together and things like that. Not a problem. And so,
right, well, that's where we've struggled, you know, because again, it's a close family member, and they've asked to, you know, come and stay with us and, you know, go out to dinner and stuff like that. And I've always been torn where the line is, because they fully know how we believe. We don't recognize it.
Let me ask you, is it just this person who wants to go out to dinner with you and your wife?
Yeah. You know, in the area, they come by and
go
say,
for it.
Yeah,
go
my
for
and
it.
My partner are in town, you know.
Well, you know, me, and I can't tell you what you should do, but if one of my children or a relative had a homosexual relationship and they both came over, when they say, want to come over, I'd say, come on over. This is just me. I'd say, come on over. You know, you're welcome here. They wouldn't be allowed to, you know, I'd say, don't kiss. Don't do this stuff. I just let them know that kind of stuff's not welcome in the home. And this is my home, my rules. And they can't sleep together and things like that. But, hey, you want to go out to dinner? Let's go, all of it. Let's go out to dinner. And I'll treat them nicely and treat them fairly. I would want them to be exposed to Christians who, you know, can give them the gospel and who can love on them. So, you know, a couple of years ago, one of my daughters had a new friend who's going through a transsexual change. And there was a new person and new in the area, didn't have any friends. This is a couple of days before Christmas. And I said, well, bring him over, or her, I forgot, it was her. Bring her over. And she goes, are you serious? I says, yeah, I don't care, bring her over. And so it was a girl going to a guy, and what my wife and I did was she came over the Christmas Eve, and we just had her spend the night. We said, you're welcome to spend the night, you know. My other daughters did, and we just loved on her. And so we actually got some gifts. We kind of re-gifted a little bit and gave a gift or two for her so that she would feel welcome on Sunday morning. And she felt very comfortable and very welcome here. And then she would go and come for the next couple of 3 days. And then finally, you know, after 3 days or so, I said, do you know what I do for a living? Did my daughter tell you? And she said, no, not at all. And I told her what I did. And, you know, I says, and by the way, you're always welcome to come over here. And she's been over a few times.
Right.
And so I'm trying to show love and stuff. But, you know, that's just how it is. That's what you do. You know, and
right. I agree. That's where we've just kind of always discussed where that line is. We both agree kind of with what you were saying. We do want to let them see Christ in us and try to get them, you know, to give up that lifestyle. And we both agree we really can't do that if they're not part of our life at all.
Right. Here's something. I got to do a video on this, and thanks for reminding me about it. I have a couple of atheists, not friends, but people I can call up, I know who are atheists, I've debated them, I have their cell numbers. I was talking to one guy, and he said something really interesting. He said that that Christian families would find out that their children would be homosexual, they'd come out of the closet, and the Christian families would kick them out of the house. Just kick them out. You're homosexual? Okay, you can't live here anymore. They'd be 16, 17, 18 years old. And be kicked out on the street by their Christian parents. And I said, I talked to this atheist. He's telling me this. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. Are you serious? He says, yes, Christians are doing this. I said, that's horrible. I could do a video on this. I completely forgot about it till now. And
I think that'd be very helpful for a lot of people, especially in the days we're living, you know.
Yeah.
You wonder where
what to do,
where that line is, you know.
But I wanted to say that what he was saying was very interesting. He said, so what we do as atheists is we help them out. We provide a place for them to stay. They're doing exactly what the Christians are supposed to be doing. Who are the homosexuals going to then attach themselves to and trust?
Right. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yep.
So, you know, we get so judgmental as Christians. And I'm just not going to support their sin. But, you know, come on into my house. Let's go out. You know, we'll go out fishing together. Let's go, you know, I'm going to treat them the same. I had a friend who, I've lost contact with him. He was bisexual. And he didn't know that I knew. And I knew. And when he finally told me, I go, yeah, I know. And he goes, what?
Right.
And I said, yeah, I've known. And he said, well, why are you still my friend if you're such a hardcore Christian? And I said, why shouldn't I be?
Right.
And when he got married to his woman, wife, female, he got married to her. She told me at the wedding that he asked me to be in. He said that the reason he gave up that bisexuality was because of me. Now, that could be taken to be an insult, but anyway.
Right.
He said, it was my love of him, you know, my just acceptance, not of his sin, but I loved him as a friend. And he said that really helped him, and he was able to leave that lifestyle. And I didn't say anything other than, hey, let's go do stuff, you know, let's be friends. But he knew I didn't approve of that.
Right.
Okay.
Great. Well, hey, man, I appreciate your perspective. God bless. Right. Have a good day.
You too, man. God bless. Hope it works out, okay? Hope it works out. All right. Let's see. We've got four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Nelson from Bakersfield. Nelson, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. God bless.
God bless.
Yeah. The scripture from verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Can you pull it up, please?
Sure. First Peter 4:14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, my question, and then it was, and it got me thinking about my walk with the Lord, basically, in my own life. It just popped on to mind. Basically, my question was, first, it says right there, the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God. What's the difference from the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of the Lord, of God, basically?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the question that I wasn't asked.
It's a good question. The Spirit of glory in this and of God rests on you.
It could be
that the Spirit of glory is the Holy Spirit. And you know, God is usually referenced with the Father, because notice that it says the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and God rests on you. It's Trinitarian, it would seem to be right there. And so I would think that would be the case with the Holy Spirit. So,
okay, that was just my question. I was going through it just the other day and I was like, that's a good question to ask Matt.
Well, it is a good question. I don't have a great answer for you. I think it's the Trinity. That's what I would think. That's my first guess.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to go with. In fact, I'm looking at a commentary, the Spirit of glory in God and of God refers to the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence with all. Yeah. So that's what a commentator says.
Okay.
So it looks like it's and I like the idea of the Trinity being in there, the name of Christ, mm-hmm. the Spirit, and of God. So,
God.
Good.
Amen.
Yeah, have you been persecuted recently?
I have in the past, like when I first came to the Lord, but then just got me thinking right now, like, have I been persecuted? Like, well, like you were saying, how through the last caller, I have many friends that are homosexuals, and I haven't really spoken to them since a while because we just lost contact. Okay. But I also have friends that just don't believe. But yet, just because they don't believe doesn't mean I should stop talking to them.
Right.
And so that's what you were saying to the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know where I stand. That and I have told them, look,
good.
When you die, this is where you're going. Because one of my friend of mine just doesn't. he just doesn't believe. He thinks it's all a joke and everything, and kind of mocks God. Well, he does, not kind of, he does. And I just say, you're going to be woken up when you pass away.
That's right. Pray for him.
So,
just pray for him.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Let's pray for him.
I have, and
good.
I continue. And then one last question before you go. A friend of mine just messaged me right now, and on Messenger, and he asked me, he just asked me a question that I answered, but I asked him to trust in Christ. But he said the reason why he doesn't trust Christ is because he has not taken his seizures away from him. And so, and I told him, well, I'm blind, and yet God has restored me. And so what suggestions do you...
When they look to circumstances, they're not looking to Jesus. The issue is sin, not a particular issue. So they always need to get their eyes off of themselves and put it on the cross of Christ. And once on Christ, they will then see themselves. Too many people start with themselves first and then go to Christ. If you focus on Christ, you'll see what you really are in light of him. And then you'll see you need him. All right, buddy?
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Matt. God bless you.
All right, man. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. All right, let's get to Morty from Utah. We got a couple of minutes. Morty, what do you got, buddy? What's up?
Hi, not much.
Okay.
Well, on my way from work, I always listen to your show.
Oh, good.
And then I heard the question you asked, I believe, from the beginning.
Yes.
About what is our standard as Christians.
Yep, it should be the Bible.
And I got my standard from Romans 12, verse 1 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah, and even though at that time I didn't really know much about the Bible, but I felt like that was just so good to me. And the more the Lord helped me to understand his word, I realized I really didn't choose those verses, but really they have chosen me.
Ooh, I like
and
that.
And it has been so wonderful. It's not questions I have. And another thing I can say is the first time I heard you teaching about the chosen, that was so strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't judge quickly. If I were, I would have said, what he's teaching, that doesn't make sense. That's not correct. Mm-hmm. But the more I listen and the more I know my life, when God really met me and all those years to now, I said, God, I am a
We're out of time, Marty. We're out of time. Sorry. Call back tomorrow, okay, if you can, because we're out of time. Sorry. Because I like what you're saying, but we're just out of time, okay? Call back tomorrow.
It's all right.
Okay.
All right.
God bless.
Have a good one.
You too.
God bless.
Okay. Sorry about that. I would like to have heard her. Hey, folks, by God's grace, back on air tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.